Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. I'm one of your wonderful hosts for this evening. Yes, I called myself wonderful. Don't judge me. I am Stephanie, and with me I have Kelton. How are you, Kelton?
Hi, Steph. Hello. I'm good. Thank you.
Good, good. And Brooks, how about you?
I'm doing well. I think we're all wonderful here.
Thanks, Brooks, for making me feel better. And yes, we are all wonderful. Couldn't agree more. And with us tonight, we have a very special guest, another FTJ agent, Jennifer Turlington. Jen, how are you? Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. I am doing well. Thank you.
Good. And the reason why we have Jen with us today is because we have a really cool, interesting topic today for Walt Disney World, and it is all about the Disability Access Service Pass, so also known as DAS. Jen, I consider her an expert in it, and it's appropriate for her to be here with us tonight. But before we dive into that topic, as always, we're going to start off this episode with the new news. So take it away, Brooks.
Well, hello there, Stephanie. We are here with the new news here on the Mouse Ears Podcast, and boy, do we have some special news. So starting off with new news number one, I feel like it was a pretty big story here. So big that we did our first ever three-person live on our Facebook group, booking for 2025 packages for Walt Disney World opened on February 27th for January 1st through October 31st, 2025. That is a lot sooner than I have ever seen it open.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And then clients are also able to go to one of Disney's two water parks on the day of check-in for free. Now, when has Disney given something away for free?
I was just about to say that. It's Disney. And Disney is amazing, but for all intents and purposes, we don't get free things. And this news, for those that did not get a chance to see our live earlier this week, or by the time this drops last week, it took the travel agency by surprise, all of them, not just us.
24 hours is all we got.
Mm-hmm. We were not expecting this. It was months earlier.
I mean, and how are you supposed to make a Canva picture in 24 hours?
I know.
Very I can't.
Fast. Well, it was definitely a lot of big news just with the, you know, opening those dates up for 2025 packages and room only, plus the free water park on check-in day. And honestly, I think that typically when they open up the first half of 2025, they don't even go all the way to October 31st. So it was just like triple whammy for those of us that are used to booking and know that this is out of the usual for Disney.
But anyways. And then I see as well that Halloween was already booked for Fort Wilderness on February 27th.
That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't Not try, surprising. People. It's already booked.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's already booked.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Halloween at Fort Wilderness. Yeah.
But then, just 24 hours later, Disney popped up with some other news. They decided to increase ticket prices for Walt Disney World for 2025. The base tickets going up from $109 to $119. And then both the dining plans have a small increase in 2025, as well for both adults and kids. So when we say, when does Disney giving something for free, they then
the other shoe price drops a little bit.
I will say though, looking at some of the calendars, some days it only went up like maybe $5. So it's not like everything went up at least $10 per day.
Well, yeah, that's the thing too. Most of the time throughout the year, you're not really going to have base tickets at $109. So,
for
how much is this really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few weeks.
Yeah. It's really not that many days that are that low. that's just opening up another can of worms, but neither here nor there. It still happened. It's been officially announced.
Yes. But then, speaking with Disney, Flower and Garden Festival in Epcot started, as of this recording, yesterday, February 28th, which I'm very excited about this festival. Mm-hmm. And also stay tuned for a future episode on all things Flower and Garden with a returning special guest, Elise Woodley. She is actually there right now. Checked in, ready to go in the morning.
So, shout out, Elise.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll be there next week, so
whoop, whoop. There you go.
Don't rub
it in. Exciting. I'm sorry.
And then I think that's all the news, but then Universal pops in.
Universal enters the chat.
That's right. Really using this pop in thing here. If anyone ever sees this video, Universal is just like, oh yeah, you're announcing all this stuff. Well, we're going to announce DreamWorks Land at Universal Studios open summer of 2024, where they're going to have a Shrek Land, Trolls, and blanking on the third one. Oh my word. But they have three lands.
I think Kung Fu Panda.
Yes, Kung Fu Panda, which I think I saw from the ride. They have like an interactive, where you talk with Poe. That would be pretty cool. But with that, the permanent closure, I know everyone is super sad about this, permanent closure of Fast and Furious 4D ride. I tell
you. Did your voice just crack at the end?
I think he's crying.
Are you okay?
I mean, I'm all about family here.
We're about family.
That's a good plug.
That was good.
So, but that is it with the new news here at the Mouse Ear Studio. And now, back to you, Steph.
Well, thank you, Brooks. That was spectacular, wonderful,
God, if anybody entertaining. Sees this video.
Oh, this has to be on TikTok. Are you kidding me?
This is good stuff.
This is great. This is comedy. stay tuned to all of our audience. We will be on YouTube real soon. So you won't just be listening to us on your favorite podcast streaming site, but you will also be able to see us and all of our shenanigans on YouTube real soon. Isn't that exciting? I'm excited. I don't know what that means. Hopefully more audience member. Hopefully Mouse Ears podcast.
Do you see the junk behind me? Now I have to clean this.
Yes, you do.
Easy. Calm down, Steph.
Now people can see my mouseum. That's how Mike calls it, because it's all Mickey Mouse decorated. But anyways, I digress. Diving into tonight's episode, Walt Disney World's DAS Pass Rundown with special guest Jen. So straight from the Walt Disney World website, what is DAS? Disney Parks has an unwavering commitment to providing a welcoming, inclusive environment and accessible experiences for our guests. As part of this commitment, Disability Access Service, also known as DAS, is a program offered at Walt Disney World theme parks to assist guests who have difficulty tolerating extended waits in a conventional queue environment due to a disability. Now, before we really dive deep into this, Jen, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you use DAS as frequently as you do?
Okay, so I am a travel agent with Fairytale Journeys, and I think I'm going on like my sixth year. I'm not sure. I just lost count. Look, I just had a birthday and found out that I was a year younger than I thought I was. So let's just not go by how long I've been a travel agent, but it's been a while. I personally use DAS because of a heart condition. So there's lots of different conditions that you can use it for. And mine in particular is a heart condition. So I also use it for my son, my adult son. All my kids are grown, and he is autistic. So we have it for both of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we get to double up on anything, but we have it, and I'll explain why we use it for both when we go, but I use it every single trip because I really can't do the parks without it.
So talking a little bit more about why you can't do the parks without it, you know, what are some of the reasons? Well, you already just mentioned some of the reasons, but some of the benefits for having the DAS for someone with your condition, for instance.
Okay, so hold on. I'm getting my notes because I don't want to miss anything because this is a lot of information. You guys be prepared for a lot of information.
We're here so, for it.
Take notes.
Love it.
There's
love
a quiz it. Later.
Holding on to the edge of my seat.
Quiz. We'll
that's what my
prize.
Professors always said.
I think I have a I don't know, a figment pen or something.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. So DAS, or the Disability Access Service, it allows individuals and their travel parties, it accommodates them for return times using the lightning lanes. Or in some cases, an alternate entrance. I can tell you the alternate entrance is only if you have DAS and you are in an ECV or a wheelchair. Now, just because you're in an ECV or a wheelchair does not mean that you will automatically get DAS because Disney is ADA compliant. Their queues are, and if their queue happens to not be, which there's a few rides where or attractions where you can't maneuver through the queue, they use an alternate entrance. So, so we still have to wait. And, you know, Steph and I travel together often. There is still a wait. So it's not like you get the pass and you just all of a sudden just get to go to the front of the line. That's not how it works. What it does is it minimizes your wait time in the actual queue for the attraction itself. So.
That's great. I mean, this is what I love about Disney. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Disney's always talking about the safety of their guests.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanting to make sure everyone can experience the magic, no matter who you are, no matter your conditions, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that allows everyone to do that. Not everyone can withstand these long lines in the Florida heat for any number of reasons. So the fact that this is an opportunity for someone like you, Jen, and I'm pointing you out because you're our guest, for you to be able to do these lines and not be so stressed out that you might not make it and that you can still enjoy everything that Disney has to offer is amazing. And I think that the DAS is really just a wonderful, wonderful tool for those that really need it and feel like they might not be able to do the things that Disney offers. So on that note, how do you apply for DAS and how does Disney determine or who qualifies for DAS?
So applying is pretty pretty easy. You know, Disney really goes out of their way to be inclusive and to try to make things as streamlined as possible and as easy as possible. So it used to be that you could only get DAS from guest services at the park. So many years ago, like when my son was young, we would have to go to the park. We'd have to get in a line for guest relations and wait in the line. And he would have to be there. So he would have to wait in that line. And if you've ever been stuck in a guest relations line, you know those can be a nightmare. So that is still an option where you can do that. And it has to be at a park. You cannot go to you know, like a guest relations at Disney Springs and do it. It has to be in the park. But they also have an online option, which is really, really nice now. So you can sign into your My Disney Experience account. And if you are the one using the DAS or the DAS pass holder, you would log in. If it's your child, you would still log in under yours. Your child would have to be with you. What I normally do is I just put it on my iPad and I enter into the chat. It's a click of a few buttons. It's very straightforward. And I just kind of go about my day. Sometimes I've waited 10 minutes and sometimes I've waited 8 or 9 hours. It just depends. They've gotten a lot better with the online registration now. And then you'll have a video chat with someone. They do not ask what your specific condition is. I still tell them what my specific condition is because trying to explain everything is just difficult in my situation. But they will ask you why you cannot wait in a conventional line. Now, in my case, I pass out. Like, that's, you want me to move through as quickly as I can, because if I pass out, there's going to be paramedics. There's going to be people trying to step over me. Like, it's going to be a big, it's going to be a big thing. So they will ask you what it is that makes it so that you can't tolerate being in a line. Now, like I said earlier, if you have a sprained ankle or, a broken leg or a hurt arm or something like that, that's something that's probably not going to get you through approved for the DAS, but it is up to the cast member on whether they are going to do it. And they have guidelines that they follow. I don't want to say any specific conditions. I know we've talked about mine, but I don't want to put specific conditions out there because it depends on the cast member and what your tolerances are as far as being in line.
Well, no, and also we're not here to try to, you know, teach people to cheat the system either. It's there for specific reasons for, you know, people like Eugene who do truly have something that doesn't, that you can't ride, you know, go through the lines. So we're not here trying to teach you how to do it. But it is to inform everybody else who may have a condition that, you know, well, they haven't gone to Disney because we all know Peter Pan in the morning's a 90-minute wait already. So, you know, to give those people who may not have already thought about going, well, this is an option you can look into.
Yeah. And I'm very passionate about not abusing the system. I know that there are people that do that. But I think people for the most part are pretty honest about it. At least I would hope that they are. But it really depends on which cast member. I have had a few cast members. They cannot ask any specific conditions, which is why I offer that now, because I did have a cast member once that was like, I don't understand why this would preclude you. So I kind of had to explain a little bit more. But, you know, Kelton, like you said, a lot of people, you know, might just avoid the parks and not realize that this is an option for them, that it is very inclusive.
And I also wanted to mention too that with something like this, there aren't any limitations to how many are given each park day, or do you not know that by any chance?
There is not.
There's no limit.
There's no limit. They're not going to turn anybody away that needs it.
Which is great. I mean, mm-hmm. we've all dealt with limitations on Genie Plus, limitations on individual lightning lanes. So the fact that this doesn't also is another reprieve for people that might need it, guests who want to experience it. Yeah. And, you know, furthermore, for those that might not know, we mentioned individual lightning lane, or the lightning lane queue, I should say. Basically, that is what is formally known as the fast pass line. So you have your regular standby queue with the DAS. You're obviously avoiding that one, and you're going to be joined in with the lightning lane queue. So, Jen, do you want to talk a little bit about once you have your DAS, if you've been approved, what happens after that, and how do you use it and apply it in the parks?
Yeah, so one of the big things about DAS, and it comes into play when you have a large party. Now, you can add as many people as you want for your DAS. So like for me, when I get it, because it lasts for, I think it's like 3 months or so. I'm not even sure. It might be 60 days. But every time that I have to redo my registration, I add everyone from my MDE on it because I am down in Disney a lot. I go a lot. And sometimes I'm with friends and sometimes I'm with family. So I just add everyone so I don't have to deal with that when I get down there and be like, oh, well, you know, your Aunt Donna is not on it. So then we're at guest relations having her added. Now, with that being said, you can have everybody added to it, but you can only have 6 people at a time. So yourself and 5 guests can use it. So if you have more than 5 guests, you might run into some issues and you might want to see people at the blue umbrellas. We call them the blue umbrella people. Now, sometimes they'll make an exception and sometimes they will not. So just keep that in mind. But once you're approved for it, you can use your My Disney Experience to choose an attraction. You have to be scanned into the park in order to choose your first DAS selection. Once you use that, you can grab another one. And then you can just keep doing that all day long. You'll choose the attraction. You'll choose the people. You'll wait whatever amount of time. It'll give you a return time. And then you'll go and experience the attraction.
Now, Jen, I know this because I have traveled with you a number of times, always a wonderful time. You have DAS Pass. For those that don't know, and we talked about this before, so if you have anything to elaborate on this, by all means. The person who has the DAS has to not only ride the ride, but has to scan in first before anyone else in their party. It is the only way that it works. Is that correct?
Yes. So when you're doing the registration process, either it doesn't matter if you are there on property or if you're doing it online, they will take your picture. So when you go in, like I'll scan, I have to go first because it'll turn, you know, you scan your magic band or your ticket and the little Mickey head will turn green. Well, for anyone with DAS, it turns blue. The picture pops up and they look, and Stephanie, you've seen this happen where they look at that, the screen, and they look at me and look at the screen and look at me and make sure that I am who I say I am. And then they'll turn it green and that sets everyone else to turn green when they go through.
So, you know, I've experienced that where they look at you and they double check. But, you know, again, it's one of those things where Disney really tries to do right by their guests, and having mm-hmm. that extra step, I think it's really great, honestly. They're pretty good about it. It doesn't really hold up the line too much.
It's a really quick thing. The reason why they do that is so that people aren't here, take my magic band, and you know, they get it for their 5-year-old, but everyone wants to go on Rock and Roller Coaster. And so then they're abusing the system.
Right.
You know, now, so.
So you just mentioned magic band. I've only ever seen you use the magic band. Can you use your DAS with your Key to the World or with your My Disney Experience app, or?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I just like the convenience of magic bands.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I completely agree. But for those that, you know, this is their once in a lifetime trip, might not have that, it's good to know that you do have options and you don't have to have a magic band to be able to use the DAS. Now, when you normally apply for your DAS, you do it at home or some few days mm-hmm. before. I did look it up. You had it right. It is valid for 60 days.
Okay.
Can you apply?
I don't even know.
You're always at the parks and you're always doing it anyway. I know. So, but I got that information. We're good. You had it right either way.
All right.
Can you apply for DAS the day of?
You can. So here is a kind of a little bit of a tip and trick and why I do not do it day of. One time I had to recently because I didn't realize it had expired. So I ran over to guest relations and got that done really quick. Thank goodness, because it was Epcot and Epcot's guest relations is just the bomb. So doing it early between 2 and 30 days before your trip. So you can't do it any sooner than that. All right. So between 2 and 30 days, when you do it online, you can then also make pre-selections. And the pre-selections are game changers. You can pre-select 2 attractions to, you'll get a return time and they're pretty set. And their time slots that they have, they're usually like between 2:30 and 3:30. It's a very specific time slot that they'll offer you. They'll send you a document where you'll put down, okay, on this day, we're going to be in Magic Kingdom and we're interested in this, this, and this. And they'll come back and it's all through chat. And they'll say, okay, well, you want Haunted Mansion? We have from 2:30 to 3:30 or 6:30 to 7:30. And you can say, yes, I want that, or no, I don't. Or they'll come back if you're waiting, you know, 2 days before your trip, selections are going to be kind of slim. You know, the pickings are going to be slim there. So, you know, they might say, we don't have Haunted Mansion, but we do have Pirates. Do you want this? So you can choose those. When you have a pre-selection, you cannot go later. It's not like a regular DAS. These are in addition. So technically, when you arrive in the morning, you'll have 3 DAS selections already done. So I always recommend doing the online just because it's more convenient. You're not waiting in line and you get to do the pre-selections.
Yeah, awesome. I have a quick question. I know you said the DAS Pass is good for 60 days, and you can do pre-selection 30 days ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Does that start your DAS Pass to where, or is it the day that you go into the park, that's when your DAS Pass is activated?
So it is from what they told me from the day that it's approved. That's mm-hmm. when your 60 days start.
Gotcha.
So we might have to double check on that because that involves Disney IT and we know how that goes. Mm-hmm. So, because I know there are times where they've set a date and it's been kind of off and I'm like, okay, well, I'll just, you know, before my trip. And I'm usually, I ask them when I log on. So like, let's say that we're 15 days out from my trip and I do pre-selections and I go on that trip and I come back and I have another one scheduled for 3 weeks later. I'll be like, hey, is it still, you know, in effect for this trip or do I need to redo it?
Great question, Brooks. So we're starting to dive into some of the true benefits of DAS beyond just obviously the fact that it helps people who might not be able to get on these rides in the same way that other guests can. But what are some of the other reasons that the DAS Pass is so beneficial and how do you make the most of it?
So this really maximizes your time in the parks. You're able to move through the parks as quickly as you would like to. This is especially important if you're someone like me, you know, when you're going during the summer, that I really cannot be in the parks in the middle of the day in that Florida heat. So I'm able to get a lot done and then head back to my resort and take a nap and rest and, you know, be fresh to head back in the evening. There's a lot of places to take breaks in the parks, but when it's really, really warm, I like to be in air conditioning and I like to be able to stay there as long as I need to, instead of, okay, we've got to get to our next Genie Plus. We've got to get to this. We've got to get to this. It really maximizes your time that you're there, that you can get, you know, you won't be able to get everything done, but you'll be able to get a lot done.
No, and the fact of the matter is when these parks are crowded, which we all know, there's no off season for Disney anymore.
Mm-mm.
Parks are constantly crowded. You don't want to be fighting for a table or a chair in the AC, which are limited to a degree.
Yeah.
So to be able to have that flexibility without feeling like you're not using the most out of your day or your ticket, because we were just talking about, you know, prices go up. You don't want to spend all that money just to be able to only do one or two rides before you or anyone in your group can't handle it. It's not for the faint of heart when it's really hot. Coming from a true Floridian, those yeah. lines are brutal. And those lines, when they're long, yeesh, you know, 90 minutes in December in Florida is not the same 90 minutes in July in Florida. So, but that's awesome. What else do you got for us on making the most of your Dash Pass?
Okay, so with DAS, to really, really maximize it, and you don't have to do this, but if you pair that thing up with Genie Plus, you're probably going to be able to do almost everything. If you leverage it the way that it can be leveraged, some of the things that I like to do, and there are some parks where I won't use Genie Plus with it. And it also depends on how I'm feeling that day. You know, like I said, with maximizing it, there are days where I've become overheated and I have gone back to the resort and stayed there for about 7 hours until I felt better to get back in. And for someone who, you know, I go often, it's not as big of a deal, but if someone's on their once in a lifetime trip or they only go every 5 years and they've spent thousands of dollars, it really makes a difference with that. So with some of the parks, I'll utilize Genie Plus. I know on our last trip, we did not. But the trip before that, I used Genie Plus. I had the pre-selection. So when we walked into the park, you know, for Magic Kingdom, we had a virtual queue for Tron. We had two pre-selections and I had a Genie Plus selection already done. So we were already walking into the park set up with four attractions. Like as soon as we got there. Now, I don't want to say that it saves money, but if you are utilizing a virtual queue, like let's say for Tron, if you can get a boarding group, once they call your boarding group, you can go up to them and have it converted. You just say you have DAS, they'll scan everybody's bands, and then you can use a lightning lane to go in. So you don't necessarily have to buy the individual lightning lane. I can tell you there are times that I have, because I don't know when they're going to call my boarding group, and you know, I don't know how I'm going to feel later on that afternoon, or we're headed to another park. So I don't want to say that it's a money saver, but in some instances, it kind of can be, so that you're not buying the individual lightning lane. Like Flight of Passage, it's either standby or individual lightning lane, but it's something that you can use DAS for. So you don't have to buy the individual lightning lane for that.
was awesome. Yeah, it. We're hesitant to say such things such as saves money, for obvious reasons. But I really want to emphasize too that there is a comfortability. Again, we've mentioned it earlier in this episode, the fact that this is an option, and the fact that this option, you know, we're hearing it from your mouth, from your personal experience, it really can make the world of a difference for someone's trip, for someone's family, for someone's core memories that they're trying to make, which can otherwise, you know, be a very stressful situation, not just for the individual who may need it, but for the whole family as a whole. I mean, like I said, I've traveled with you, Jen, and if it's too hot and you start to have, you know, heart palpitations, we're all worried. Are you okay? You know, so this is something that doesn't just help the individual, but helps the entire party so that everyone is comfortable and everyone is present and able to enjoy it and be together, family, friends, you name it. So I love being able to hear these experiences from you and how you use it and how you maximize it, and that there's options for everything, whether it's virtual queue or if, you know, you mentioned earlier, if there's stairs or if there's an alternate queue that does accommodate whatever the needs may be, Disney has all of that in store.
Yes, Carlton down in front.
So they don't have like hand raised things like that. I'm used to on Teams, so I actually have to put my hand up for this one. No, so we had just mentioned, or Brooks had mentioned early on that for the 2025 packages, that on check-in day you can go to the water parks. So can DAS be, the DAS pass be utilized at either Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach? Because I honestly don't know. I don't have an answer for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not tried it at the water parks.
I don't even have fast passes at the water parks, frankly.
They do not. So I can tell you, it'll probably work the same way it does, or the way that it used to, where you go up to the ride entrance or attendant. And that's a great question, because I haven't experienced that. But you'll go up to the ride attendant and ask if there's a return time. They used to give you a little card and they would fill it out and be like, okay, the wait for this is 30 minutes, come back in 25 minutes. It was a huge pain. I'm glad that everything is on MDE now. But that's a great question. I imagine that's how it works.
We'll have to look that, because I was an attractions attendant at Universal, and I remember having to do that. They had the long cards, and you put your attraction name, and then, you know, whatever the process is for that. But no, that one kind of just hit me as you were talking about it. Going,
I guess we're gonna find out.
I mean, especially with the, you know, with the summertime, sometimes the water parks can be very busy.
Well, that, but it's a water park. I don't have pockets going up the rides. So to have my, you know, my phone for the My Disney Experience app, I mean, do you check in? Do you leave it? Like, what do you do
with
it?
Put it in your bear bag.
Yeah. We're going to have to try that out.
Yeah.
Let's say it's starting to get warm. Yeah. We might have to do a water park day.
We do it for the podcast. Oh, Brooks. Yep. In the front.
Nope. thank you. So this was something, and I did not know this until you guys mentioned it, that they have alternate entrances to different attractions. I'm interested to know what attractions have those different entrances. So that interests me.
Okay.
Nerd. I'm sorry.
This is and this is not just for DAS. This is for anybody who is in, well, almost all attractions now have a lightning lane. But this is for people who maybe they don't qualify for the DAS, but they are in an ECV or a wheelchair, or a stroller who is marked as a wheelchair. So a few of them that I know of is, is Spaceship Earth. If you are in an ECV or a wheelchair, you will go to, if you've ever gotten off of Spaceship Earth and you've walked down, if you look over to, I can't remember if it's the left or the right, but you'll see a little parking area. If you've gone on Spaceship Earth, you know that load area is very, very small. There is no way that they can get a wheelchair and ECV up there.
Kitty, so, behind you.
Yeah.
Kitty, kitty.
That was Woody.
Ah,
Buzz is too big to get up there.
For those of you that don't know, Jen has, amongst other pets, two cats, one called Woody and one called Buzz.
Yeah.
And one of them just popped up. Anyways.
They're my babies. So Spaceship Earth is one. There is also Flight of Passage. Will have a bit of a, you know, the queue going up is kind of odd. There's going to be a little bit different of a loading area with that. I'm trying to remember and see my notes here. The race cars. I don't know. I keep wanting to retheme those. Speedway. Yeah. The Speedway. You know, that long queue and just loading. And it's really not the line being compliant. It's the actual loading of the person when they have to transfer. It is the same thing with, it's a small world. You'll see where you load, there's going to be ECVs and wheelchairs coming down, and then they're there. So they use alternate entrances, and it used to be that every attraction had an alternate entrance. When Jonah was, that's my son, when he was really little, it really was a pass that you just kind of, like express pass, you just walked onto the ride. I am personally glad that they changed it to where you still have to wait, because that makes it fair. You still have to wait, you're just not waiting in the queue, in the standby queue. So you can sit in the air conditioning, you can get a snack. There are many times where we've just sat outside the ride in the shade and waited for our return time to come back.
Can't even enjoy the queues that way. And Disney does such a good job with some of their queues.
Yeah.
Not all, but.
It was years before my kids saw the queue, the full queue for Flight of Passage. They were like, oh my gosh. It was years. Years.
It's a really been cool open queue for that too. Long already?
Yes.
Oh my.
I'm sorry.
Oh dear.
Oh, that's awesome. Didn't open. Flight of Passage opened in 2017. I just looked that up recently. I was like, wow, really? I thought it was a lot later, but.
Yeah.
Guess
I
not.
Think I think Everest is either 19 or 20 this year.
That's wow. Crazy.
Time flies. Anyways.
That's well, crazy.
Honestly, Jen, you've given us so many good information today about DAS, stuff that we don't even know about because we haven't needed to use it. But we're so happy to have you here and be able to inform our audience members of this option. But before we wrap things up, my favorite thing, our favorite thing to ask any agent or any guest that's on the episodes that we record is, what kind of tips do you have specifically for DAS, especially from, you know, an experienced travel agent like yourself? What extra information do you have, goodies for us and our audience?
Okay, so my number one tip for DAS would be the pre-selections. That is two attractions that you don't have to worry about. They're already set. You cannot be late for those. However, it's nice. In Animal Kingdom, I scheduled the two shows, so I know that I have downtime scheduled into my day And then I'm not using a Genie Plus and I'm not using DAS for either of those. So in the morning, that'll look like when I scan into the park, I will grab DAS for the Safari. And I will already have the Lion King show set up as a pre-selection. So I can do both of those in that area back to back. And then as soon as you scan into one, you grab another one. If I'm going to stay on that side of the park, I will usually grab Flight of Passage. And then once I scan into Flight of Passage, I'll grab Navi River. And then I'll go eat afterwards. So I like to, I call it utilizing the geography in the park. And this is just a general tip, not just for DAS, but trying to stay within certain areas of the park so you're not crisscrossing back and forth. Nothing is going to wear you out more than being at Space Mountain and, oh, we got to go to Thunder Mountain and now we have to do Buzz Lightyear. And you know, by that, you're like, oh, Disney is so exhausting. I'm like, well, you're probably back and forth. Being flexible with your day. I'll tell you this quick story about my Jonah. Jonah is autistic. And my husband, God bless him, was like, we hadn't been to Disney in a couple years. And he said, I don't think we need disability access for Jonah. And I said, okay. By the end of day two, Jonah was a mess. He was stimming. He was acting out. He was having tantrums. It was too much. It was just way too much for him. The morning of day three, I said, forget this. I'm not doing this to him. I'm not doing this to us. I'm not doing this to the other poor people who are in line with us. We went and got DAS, and the rest of the trip was much, much more pleasant. A tip is don't feel bad if this is something that you need. Please do not feel bad about using it. Also, you don't necessarily have to purchase the individual lightning lanes for it. And Disney is constantly updating their list of attractions, so you can check those out in MDE on what's available and what isn't. It also will not show up in your My Disney Experience, the actual DAS. Will not show up until you arrive and you scan into the parks, and it'll pop up on the day that you're visiting. Have extra battery packs, because just like with Genie Plus, you are going to be on your phone a lot. So make sure you have extra battery packs for your phone. Those that are my last little tips. One, though. Yeah.
The battery packs.
You can never go wrong with that one, honestly. But
I forgot it on my last trip, and I was like, who's a battery pack? Who's a battery pack?
But we no longer have to fear, because the new buses that Disney just purchased has USB chargers on there.
Yeah.
You clever little minx, you plug in the buses.
But God forbid it, you know, yeah, you might have to share with somebody, you know.
Yeah.
You get it for the first 10 minutes to the resort. They get it for the second 10 minutes. Brooks is like, nope.
I'm at Disney. I'm not sharing.
We're getting ready to throw down elbows on the bus for a USB port.
So funny story. This is totally unrelated other than the fact that it's a battery pack. I was in Disney in August and it was really, really hot. I had my neck fan on. Yeah, right? Go figure. I had my neck fan on. It died. And I, plugged almost in my died. Neck fan into my battery pack. It's too hot. I need, now that I've discovered neck fans, I need them. And that's one of the reasons why I use my battery pack.
I'm waiting for someone to bring like their converted battery pack that has like a Ryobi or like a Milwaukee battery plugged into it, and They're like, oh, I got battery power all day.
So a friend of mine, and we were just with them in October for a day, for their son in the stroller, they do have a Ryobi fan, and he travels with two batteries. Oh, now, wow. They also live right behind Magic Kingdom, but still. Yeah.
Wow.
Don't leave your house without battery packs. Moral of the story.
Can you imagine how fast that neck fan would go if it had a high-capacity Milwaukee battery?
Next thing we know, Steph is flying above Epcot.
She'll look like Beyonce in a music video.
Oh my gosh. Rihanna coming down at the last Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Is that Tinkerbell? No, it's just Steph.
Wait, she's going away.
No guide wire needed here.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Disney's trying out their new drone fireworks show.
Yo, so side note, does anybody remember the Christmas drone show they had at Disney Springs like 187 years ago?
No.
Am I an alternate universe? Like,
I only Mandela know about Disneyland Paris.
Is this what? The Mandela effect?
I remember a drone show at Disney Springs, but it was very short-lived.
Oh, yeah. It was only, like, I think, like a month or two. It wasn't very long.
Yeah.
But I want, okay. No Mandela effect happening here.
No, I do remember a drone show, and I'm like, oh, that sounds so cool. And then it was gone, and I'm like, I guess it wasn't that cool.
I'll send
cool.
it to you guys. I'll find it.
Yeah, one thing with the drone show, you never have to guess, what's that sound?
Oh, yeah. There it is. Gosh. Well, back to our episode. Well, I feel like that about covers everything. Does anyone have any last minute question about DAS that they may not have known or still, you know, Jen, you did such a great job breaking it down for us, giving the whole rundown, you know, what it is. How do you use it? How do you apply for it? Who, in theory, some, you know, to a degree, who can apply for it and may or may not get, approved? How to best use it? And then tips to boot, which we love tips. But I have no more questions, and that's a rarity for me. Kelton, Brooks, do either of you have questions?
I don't have any questions. I think it's just fantastic that this option is even available, because I mean, like you said, Disney tries to make it open for everyone, and this truly makes it open for everyone. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there's no extra charge for the DAS pass, correct?
There is not. It is
free. I mean, we joked earlier, Disney doesn't give anything away for free. Like, that is something that if they really, really wanted to, they could charge almost whatever they would want for that additional.
God forbid they do, though.
You know.
They shouldn't. Yeah,
don't get any ideas, Disney. But no. I mean, it's just the one time. Don't listen to
would.
Us.
Yeah. I don't think they would. Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I don't think they ever would. But it's just, it's... You know, you always hear, especially in today's society, hearing about corporate greed and, you know, almighty dollar. It's nice that Disney continues to offer this and at no additional charge for their customers.
I do have one final tip. It's not really a DAS, but it's if you are traveling with somebody that is severely autistic, has severe anxiety, and I mean like we're talking like severe, do not discount Disney. I have had clients do this, and it's something that I recommend, especially for a first trip. Like, you know, you're scared to go, you're scared to plunk down all that money. Stay at either a moderate or a deluxe resort. I recommend ones that are a bit quieter, that still have a nice pool. And that's why I said that, because they're quieter. They have a nice pool. Hang out at the pool during the day. Have a nice dinner somewhere. Do not buy park tickets. Attend the after hours. If you've ever been to an after hours, the parks are empty. The first one that I ever did at Magic Kingdom, I was walking around, and this is coming from a former cast member who has walked through empty parks. It's very eerie to know the parks are open, the rides are running, everything is going, but there is nobody there. It is a great way to kind of test the waters and see if another trip, you know, like a what we would call a full trip with park tickets and all that, utilize the after hours. So buy the after hours tickets. It's probably going to be a little bit less than what a single day ticket would be. Right around the same, maybe a little bit less, but your snacks are included. You won't have to worry about DAS. Everything will be pretty much a walk on, but it'll be empty. You won't have the kind of crowds that that you would have on a normal day. So not anywhere near it. So that's something that I recommend to people who, or to my clients or even friends and family who have where it's severe and they're afraid to plunk down all that money and to have it just be a complete disaster. Because even with DAS, I know Stephanie, you know, you've experienced this with me, and some rides are much worse than others. Guardians of the Galaxy is one of them. Even though you're utilizing the Lightning Lane, we have still waited 45 minutes in that line. Which I'm, you know, glad I'm not in the other line, but it's still rough on me, and it's a very enclosed. That hallway is a very enclosed area, that first hallway that you go into. And if you're packed with people and you have, you know, issues, it's not pretty.
I think that's a great tip as far as after hours go, and even, you know, where you decide to stay as far as resort. And you know, to further add to that, Jen, staying at a resort that also has theme park view in order to maybe be able to see the, you know, nighttime spectaculars or shows from your own room.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not overly stimulated, super packed in into, you know, these crowds that you know that they, you know, that happens every single night, whether it's at the park or in the lines to leave the park. So in that way, you don't feel like you're totally missing out. Right. Because we do. And we've talked about it here on the Mouse Ears podcast. We love the nighttime shows. We don't like to miss them. So being able to stay at a resort that offers that as well, I feel like, again, another great addition to making that trip special when you're a little bit nervous and trying to plan accordingly. So I think that was awesome, honestly. And then one last thing before we wrap up. You were talking about how Disney, you know, don't discount Disney. They mm-hmm. know how to take care of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
This episode has been very Walt Disney World focused, but this isn't just the case for Walt Disney World. It's the company as a whole. We were just at a familiarization trip at Walt Disney World earlier this month in February. And one of the things that they talked about was the Adventures by Disney that Disney offers to travel worldwide, all kinds mm-hmm. of itineraries in any, you know, I say any country, but there's really like just a bunch of countries that they offer. And they explained to us too, just how well equipped they are to be able to handle any guests who have any kind of disability. Mm-hmm. So trust Disney, trust the brand. Yeah. They know how to take care of you. Safety above everything. Their business is families.
Yeah.
And they make sure to incorporate that in everything that they offer. So, and if you're not sure about something, ask a cast member, go to guest relations, guest services, they'll be able to help you if you ask nicely. Remember, we always like to treat our cast members with respect. They're humans.
Yes, please.
Yes.
So, please.
You know, we love our cast members here. But anyways, on that note, you know, I think that about does it for this week's episode of the Mouse Ears podcast. Don't forget to join our Mouse Ears podcast Facebook group and our TikTok page for all the episode details. If you're interested in having a Fairy Tale Journeys agent book your next trip, visit fairytalejourneystravel.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you like listening to us, we'd love for you to leave us a review wherever you listen to us. And until next time, thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jen. Thank you for being here and giving us, you know, the lay down for such an important topic. And, you know, we hope to have you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.